I'd like to invite you folks to open your Bibles this morning to Galatians chapter 6 and find verse 16. Good to see everybody here this morning. As you folks are turning there, I wanted to start off just by sharing a few things that are exciting and encouraging for me as your pastor and just getting to minister here at New Life Baptist Church and the way that the Lord's growing us and seeing the body minister. The pastors and teachers of the church are there to equip the saints for the work of ministry. So it is wonderful to see when these things begin to happen. And, you know, really with some teams functioning, we had teams sign up a while back. And some of y'all have seen this paper go around and have filled this out. And it's good to see teams like our nursery team, with the children, child care, taking off and helping out with that ministry, leading that ministry on Sunday mornings. Our youth and children, our teams are really at work as well. Our Wednesday night activity started back up this past Wednesday night for our children, so that's really encouraging. Our hospitality team is doing a great job as well. They've got us started this Sunday with our first Sunday fellowship meal, which I know we're all excited about. I hope that you are. I'm looking forward to it and have been. But our hospitality team has done that along with the decorating and all over there that we are going to enjoy in the gym during that time. Our security team is hard at work. We have a security person at the door every Sunday morning patting people down after they greet them. So that's really... makes us all feel safe. No, they won't. They don't. I don't think anybody's been patted down lately, but they do greet folks and keep an eye on things out in the parking lot. Our women's ministry is getting kicked off as well, and I'm just really encouraged by that. Hearing a report about what's going on there with our women's ministry, and then the men's ministry team. You know, we've kind of been meeting for the last several months on a Saturday morning, which, as a matter of fact, this coming Saturday will be our scheduled men's meeting, so you guys can plan on that at 8:30 on Saturday mornings, if you can plan to be here. So these things are all very encouraging. I've also seen individuals doing a lot, ladies reaching out to one another and seeking to minister to one another, making themselves vulnerable toward one another. Trey doing the announcements this morning is encouraging. You know, him being willing to do that, stepping up, and that's what we want is men being willing to stand in front of the church and lead the church in a good and healthy way. And so I appreciate Trey's willingness, and Les has done a really good job with that for the last several months. So I appreciate his faithfulness, and then Trey giving him a little break there. Kevin on Wednesday night has started leading us in some singing with his guitar, and, you know, I've just heard a couple of comments from him, you know, about my singing. And, you know, I'm sure he means that in the best way that it could possibly be taken. But what I heard him say was he didn't like to hear me sing. So he wanted to make sure that he led us in some songs with a guitar. So, yeah, brother, I hear you. So I guess that's a positive negative there that that happened for the church. But that's been really good to have him leading that for us, a couple songs there. Folks have helped out with the facility. Many of you helped with some of the improvements. I'm afraid to name all the names because I do think that I would miss someone. But from cleaning cabinets to installing appliances to installing lights, so many different guys and gals have worked to make all that happen. So I'm thankful for that. We have our faithful folks in the sound booth who are working hard. Some of you may be receiving cards in the mail. Leah and Abigail are sending out cards for, I think, birthdays and anniversaries to folks in the church, and that's just a blessing and a really cool thing that they are doing there. We have several small group teachers. If you're going to be teaching a small group, would you stand up this morning? If you're teaching a small group or helping with that, would you stand up real quick? All right, so we have several of our teachers. Now, hold on, I want to introduce everybody to your teacher if you don't know them. All right, so Miss Sherry right here and Miss Joy are teaching the preschool age, and they're right over by the kitchen. is where the classroom is. All right, so we appreciate them doing that. They've been doing that for several years. Y'all just remain standing. Back here next is Miss Kay Williams back there in the back. She's teaching the what we're calling the JV kids. No, that's for Sherry. Why don't you describe it better? What's Kay teaching?
So Kay's teaching the varsity, which is our current 4th through 6th grade.
Varsity. All right, good. And then Rachel's teaching the JV kids. So Rachel, right here. Rachel, will you raise your hand right there? She's teaching the JV kids, and that's going to be over on the other side of the gym in G12. And then Aaron and Jonna are teaching the teens, 4-12, or Aaron mainly is. I don't see Jonna standing, so I'm assuming she's not. Okay, all right. So Aaron, they're going to be right here next to the auditorium off to the side in the high school room. And then Kevin's teaching the young adults. Kevin and I are going to be tag teaming that, working with the young adults, and that's in the carpeted room, G13 on the other side of the gym. And then Brother David and John Slater are teaching the adult class in here in the auditorium. Right, Brother David? All right, thank y'all for standing up. But that small group time is a really great opportunity for discipleship in all levels, and what you do, teachers, in those classrooms are important. I want to thank my wife, Sherry. She's did so much, has done so much to make the administrative part of this go, and I find it difficult to focus in on those things as I need to sometimes, and I hate trying to figure out what another password is to another account, like Lifeway to order curriculum. I mean, it just raises my stress level like crazy, but she has helped out with that, and so I want to thank you, Sherry, for everything you've done there to make that happen. She does great job, does so many things for the church. Our Valentine banquet is coming up next Sunday night, so 1 week from today. If you haven't signed up for that and would like to attend, I encourage you to. We have some friends of ours, Scott and Jackie Riley, who are some deeply spiritual people, but they're also really funny people. And we've got to spend a lot of time with them and over the years through a board that we are on, and looking forward to having them. We're going to have a good time, Lord willing, next Sunday night. Have some good food, fellowship, and fun together. And our first Sunday fellowship meal today, as I said, is starting, and we look forward to all of these things. So there's a lot going on at New Life. It's kind of encouraging to be at this point. We want to continue to be respectful toward each other, okay? I think the coronavirus is still a real thing, and you can still get it, and you can still get real sick from it. And there are a lot of people who have and who have died. So we want to be respectful. We do not want to be negligent as your leadership. We don't want to be negligent. But we also want to try to press forward as much as we can with some of these important ministries at the church. So let's be smart, be respectful, love one another through this time. Galatians 6:16, I want to talk to you about the rule of the cross this morning. The rule of the cross, just for the next few minutes. And it's just one verse, verse 16. You find it there. It says, "And as many as walk according to this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God." Let's go to the Lord our God this morning in prayer. Oh, Father, we say with the psalmist this morning, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to your name give the glory because of your mercy, because of your truth. Our God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases. The idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. Eyes they have, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. Noses they have, but they do not smell. They have hands, but they do not handle. Feet they have, but they do not walk. Nor do they mutter through their throat. Those who make them are like them. So is everyone who trusts in them. But Lord, we say this morning that you are our Lord. You are our help and our shield, and in you we trust. Father, as we look to your word today, I pray we would learn to fear you. And I pray, God, that we would learn to walk by the rule which you have set for us, and the rule of the cross of Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Get rid of some of these papers up here as we get started. So the rule of the cross in verse 16. Everywhere we go, there are rules. If you go to Dollar General, there are rules about how far you have to stand apart from each other. It seems like there's blue tape everywhere that we go. If I had a $5 bill for every time I had to turn around and walk back to my vehicle to get my mask, I would be in much better financial shape than I am. But, man, all of these things, sporting events, there's a big ball game tonight, and we're going to assume that they're going to play by the rules. Everywhere you go, there are rules. And in this passage in Galatians 6:16, Paul says, and as many as walk according to this rule. As many as. That means it doesn't matter who it is. Whether you're Jew or Gentile, whether you're black or white, male or female, slave or free, circumcised or uncircumcised, it does not matter. As many as walk according to this rule. I want to emphasize a couple of different words as we go through this in the next few minutes. The first one is walk. When you see in the New Testament the word walk, it's the idea of how we live. So when you think about the Christian walk, it is the Christian life. It's the way the Christian lives. The Bible talks a lot about this. And I did just a search in my concordance, exhaustive concordance that I have, which is great. You need one if you don't have one. But if you look at this, you see some of what it says about a walk. We walk in newness of life. We walk according to the Spirit. We walk properly as in the day. We walk as we are called. We walk by faith. We walk in good works. We walk worthy of our calling. We walk in love as Christ did. We walk as children of light. We walk circumspectly, Ephesians 5:15. We also are called to walk worthy of the Lord, to walk in Jesus the Lord, to walk in wisdom, to walk worthy of God, to walk abounding more and more, to walk properly toward those outside, to walk in the light, to walk just as Jesus walked, to walk according to His commandments, to walk in the truth. That's a lot of walking. In the last two, in Galatians chapter 5, we have seen that we are to walk in the Spirit. In chapter 5, 16 and 25, and then in this passage today, we walk according to this rule. Now we ask the question, what is this rule? The next word that is highlighted there, I've looked that word up, and here's the definition to it. It's the word kanonai, and it means properly. It means a rod or a bar. It's used as a measuring standard. Originally, a cane or reed used as a standard of measure. So in other words, it's like a tape measure. It's like a yardstick. It's a rule, it's a standard or norm as it is used in Galatians chapter 6, verse 16. Have any of you ever heard of the phrase canon of Scripture? Canon of Scripture. That's the word that it comes from. Because what we have in the canon of Scripture, this has been measured, every book in here has been measured out by a certain standard. And it met that standard, so it was included in the Bible. Okay, that's why it's called canon of Scripture, and that's the word that it comes from. The word is also used in Philippians chapter 3, verse 16, in one other location. I think there's about three other instances. But Philippians 3:16 says, "Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us be of the same mind." And if I had time, I could go into that and show y'all that it's probably very similar to the context and meaning that Paul has here in Galatians chapter 6, verse 16. So that is a lot when it comes to thinking about the rule and our walk, walking according to this rule. And we might ask ourselves the question, what does this mean? What does this look like? All right, now follow with me as I read through this list very quickly. He says, and as many as walk according to this rule. All right, so what does that look like to walk according to that rule? Is that rule the rule of the cross of Christ? And because of that cross, we become a new creation in Christ Jesus, like verse 15 talks about. And that's what I would suggest to you. That's what it means. That's what the rule is. That through the cross of Christ, we become a new person. And because of that newness, we then live differently. Let me share with you what some of this looks like, just working backwards. A new walking according to this rule looks like the world is crucified to us and us to the world. It looks like we boast exclusively in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 12, it looks like we have no confidence in the flesh. In verse 10, it looks like we do good to all, especially to those of the household of faith. It looks like, in verse 10, that we do not lose heart in well-doing, knowing that we will one day reap. In verse 8, it looks like us not sowing to the flesh, but to the Spirit by which we will reap everlasting life. In verse 7 of chapter 6, it looks like this. We do not mock God by the way we live our lives and what we are planting in the field of our lives. In verse 6, it looks like us sharing in all good things with Him who teaches the Word. In verse 5, it looks like us bearing our own load. In other words, we do that which the Lord Jesus has called us to do. Verse 7, it looks like us examining our faithfulness to the Lord for the work that He has given us to do. In verse 3 of chapter 6, it looks like us not being deceived by thinking that we are something when we are nothing. In verse 2, it looks like us bearing one another's burdens. In verse 1, it looks like us restoring one who is taken in a trespass. See, he's described already what living according to the rule looks like. And he's given told us how to do that. In chapter 5, verse 26, it looks like us not being conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. In verse 25 of chapter 5, it looks like us living and walking by the Spirit. In verse 24, it looks like us crucifying the flesh with its passions and desires. In 22 through 23, it looks like us as being vessels by which the fruit of the Spirit is produced in our lives. In verse 19 through 21, it looks like us not practicing the works of the flesh. In verse 18, it looks like us not being under the law. And in verse 14 and 13, it looks like us through love serving one another. That's what, if I think we can say in context, that walking according to the rule looks like in the Christian life. Paul has already told us. Now here's the points of application. Number one is this: conclusions for practical application. Number one, we have a rule for living or walking as a Christian. It's the rule of the cross, not the works of the law. Okay? That's the whole picture here from Galatians. Because they've been wanting to go back to the law, being circumcised, keeping certain days, eating certain foods, and if you do all that stuff, then you're really, really saved. But that's not what true salvation looks like according to what Paul has said. That is not what justification looks like according to what Paul has taught us. But in verse 16 of chapter 2, this is what justification looks like, knowing, he says, that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified in His sight. Did you hear me this morning? Did you hear God's Word this morning? No flesh will be justified in the sight of God by the works of the flesh, by the works of the law. So we have a rule for living. You don't have to worry about that. You don't have to wonder about that. You can't stand before God one day and say, I didn't know about that, because He has told us in His Word. Number two is this. The rule of the cross determines how we live our lives. The rule of the cross determines how we live our lives. Now, all the things that we just went over in chapters 5 and 6, we need to ask ourselves, does this describe me? Does this bearing of one another's burdens, does loving one another, serving one another through love, does helping a brother or sister who's caught in a trespass, does that describe me as a believer? Because this rule of the cross determines how we live our lives. Because we are not our own, are we? We have been bought with a price. And as Paul said in Galatians 2, verse 20, he says, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. The last point of conclusion for practical application is, it matters whether we live by this rule. Peace and mercy are at stake. You see it in verse 16. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace and mercy be upon them. It could be this morning that the reason you do not have peace in your life, it could be this morning that the reason you are not experiencing the mercy of God in your life is because you are not living according to this rule. It could be that you, as a believer, have begun to trust in people, possessions, politics, partying, pocketbook, or some sort of perversion, rather than obeying the rule of the cross. It could be that you're not experiencing mercy, the loving kindness and goodness of God that we enjoy in spite of our sin and failures, because you are not walking according to this rule. While there are so many wonderful ways in which we as a church, God is blessing us and allowing us to move forward, I beg you this morning, examine yourself individually. And I've learned over the years not to assume that everybody is walking with the Lord that's in our gatherings. Just because you're here doesn't mean that you're striving to walk with the Lord. There very well could be, and probably is, someone in this building right now who is caught up in a life-dominating sin that you refuse to let go of, and you do not know the peace and mercy of God because you are not living according to God's rule of the cross, but you're living according to your rules. And according to what we see in the Word of God, if you sow to the flesh, you will reap corruption. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. So, this morning, as those conclusions of practical application are given to you, I hope that you will, in light of verse 16, examine your life before the Lord Jesus Christ. And if this morning you need to repent of your sin as a believer, as a Christian, you know you're in sin, you need to repent of that sin. I beg you, repent of that sin. And we've got a God in heaven who will receive you and pour out His peace and mercy upon you. Walk the right way. And if you this morning are in without peace and mercy because you know you've never believed on the Lord Jesus, that gift has been presented so often and you've rejected it time and time again, and you know you don't have peace and mercy, then God, again, this morning is being gracious to you and merciful to you by the gospel being presented that Christ is a Savior, is the Savior of men from our sins. He died, was buried, and rose again. And if you will believe in Him, the message of the gospel then even you can be saved and be right with God. You see, it's repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is what we need to be right with God. Let's pray together. Our musicians be coming to lead us in song as we prepare to close the service. And I just exhort you this morning to respond to God's Word appropriately. Are you surrendered to the Lord? Are you walking in surrendered, in a surrendered state of mind, heart, soul, and strength? Or are you trying to live by your rules in your way? I ask you this morning to examine yourself. And if that is true of you who is a Christian and a believer, repent this morning. If you know that you are here and you have never tried to follow that rule, but yet this morning you see that without that rule of the cross and boasting in the cross of Christ and being a new creation in Him, you have no hope, then today is the day of salvation. And I pray that you will repent of your sins and trust in Jesus. Father, I thank you for your word. I pray you will bless it as it has gone out. And Lord, give us grace that we might continue to walk according not to our rules, Lord, but according to yours. In Jesus' name, amen.